hartelijk welkom bij LGBT Plus radio show Culti Culti numero 93. Met vandaag veel ruimte voor activisme uit het verleden en het heden. Zo zal Mark Hesselink in zijn Cultipedia de queer polderpunk memoreren van de fameuze band Tetje en de Flikkers van eind jaren 70, begin 80. Zometeen een uitvoerig gesprek, deze keer in het Engels, met schrijver en filosoof Simone van Saarloos en queer artist Kubra Uzun over het actuele project Through the Window, een online samenwerking tussen verschillende queer kunstenaars in Turkije en Nederland. Zij zullen onder meer praten over hun drijfveren, hun bijzondere gezamenlijke visie en ook over hun vriendschap. Verder is er Gert Hekma's ABC van perversies, met deze keer aandacht voor wat ook wel bekend staat als het syndroom van de Clairambeau, namelijk erotomanie. De column van deze maand is een mijmering over Conchita Wurst's nieuwe single Malibu en de belofte van de komende zomer. Maar nu eerst nog even een gedicht. En dat is deze keer een voorloper op het interview. Op de melodie van Mozart's O du ezelhafta Martin schreef en zong queer kunstenaar Kubra Uzun, die we zo zullen horen, in de Turkse gaycodetaal Lubunja het lied Koli Kanonu, ofwel Scharrelkanon. Meiden, spits je oren en verslik je niet. Ga gelukzalig, fris en fruitig, op zoek naar een lekkere scharrel. Het is een kwestie van de juiste kers op je taart. De queers zullen moeiteloos toestromen. En alle mannelijke tops zullen zich aansluiten. Doorsnee, pinkies en de grote jongens uiteindelijk ook. Laat dat warme water maar spoelen. Laat alle meiden uit Sicily meedoen en dan samen slenteren en flaneren. Maar pas op voor blauwe heren. Al met al genoten van mijn kanon? Als je wilt, begin ik weer van vooraf aan. Van voor af aan.
Kızlar dinleyin dikkatle. Kürlenmeyin gülümlerle, çok neşeli, but beldeli, bu sende naşlat koli, gülümlü şugar bir oyun bu. Naşlatmak Lubunya'ya zor mu? Tümler çolar, sıradalar, elvan kürdan butlar budu, similyalar, ılık suyla alık lavaşını, topla bütün şişli kızlarını, haydi çarka, naşla paparona alıktırma. Beğendiniz mi kanonu? İsterseniz naşlatalım tekrar, tekrar, tekrar size onu. Kızlar dinleyin dikkatle, kürlenmeyin gülümlerle. Çok neşeli, but beldeli, bu sende naşlat koli, gülümlü şugar bir oyun bu. Kızlar dinleyin dikkatle, naşlatmak Lubunya'ya zor bu. Kürlenmeyin gülümlerle, tümle çolar, çok neşeli, sıradalar, but beldeli, elvan kürdan butlar bu. Naşlat koli, gülümlü şugar bir oyun bu. Kızlar dinleyin dikkatle, naşlatmak Lubunya'ya zor bu. Kürlenmeyin gülümlerle, tümle çolar, çok neşeli,
Op de koffie bij Through the Window. And we're here at Dutch Culture Herengracht 474 with Simone van Saarloos and Kubra Uzun. Thanks for inviting me. We're here at the Tuinkamer. Why did you want to meet up here?
Hello, this is Kubra Uzun speaking. Mm-hmm. I am tall, bald, handsome and beautiful, non-binary, trans something. We're supposed to meet in my room. Where do I stay? But it's a small room, so we wanted to have our conversation with an ambiance, with glam, with love. So that's why we are here. Also, the Dutch Culture Amsterdam supported me for my stay. I'm here for, you know, Amsterdam Museum's conversation that Simone moderates, Architecture of Sex. So yeah, we were together. It's recorded and it will be online on the 10th. On Amsterdam Museum's website, Architecture of Sex. That's the reason I'm here now in the city.
Maybe the listeners can hear the birds.
Yes, there's a little authentic, I can call, garden here, like coming from 16th, 17th centuries. The building is also, Simone, you can tell about also the building itself.
Yes. Yeah, I'll just describe what I look like. So I'm a white person, blonde, and I have different colored nail polish. What else? Freckles and green eyes. We are here in this colonial building. The marble steps downstairs are for the visitors, and upstairs you see that the steps are wooden. So downstairs it's really like about this pretense of being rich. There's also fake doors.
Quite kitschy, I have to say, yeah.
Yeah, and as queer people, I mean, it's really interesting because there's this queer element to it where it's like super performative, right? Like you're pretending to be more rich than you are. Mm. But there's also the other element, of course, which is about funding. And that's also how Through the Window started, our project that we started together, which is really about, it starts with this question of how to get funding to queer artists who have seen since the pandemic the closure of nightclubs and stage performance spaces.
Could you describe the origin of the project Through the Window?
Yeah, I mean, during the pandemic, queers in Turkey and the Netherlands lost their jobs. Places are closed, the nightclubs, and the artists, the exhibitions are closed or cancelled. So for us, for queer people, the presentation saying I'm here means a lot. So the project itself creates and opens ways for us queer people in both the Netherlands and Turkey to present themselves, to show their works, create works for the project, and to dance together and to speak together and to think together. And it's all together.
So it's born out of necessity, in a way?
We can call as a necessity on this way. In the Netherlands, because of the pandemic, have a governmental support also, social support, I can call, like artists. But in Turkey, we don't have any support. So with Ömer, Tevfik Ertem and I immediately thought about what can we do for the community. Mm-hmm. So at that moment, there is a application on Istanbul Consulate General in the Netherlands. So we just apply a project with, I mean, I include Simone on that point. And Simone gladly said, yes, let's kick it. So we wrote a project and consulate just back to us that we want to support it in a big scale, not in a, as a minor project. So that's how we started last year first, and now we are having the second cycle this year. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the aim is to create, to open the ways and to support the community with an exhibition, online exhibition, with online conversations and online parties.
Yeah. And who came up with a name, Through the Window?
Ömer Tevfik Ertem, photographer and creator friends of ours. Which we work together, three of us, in this project, Simon, me and Ömer. Ömer just said, let's kick it like through the window because we are just isolated in our, you know, places. It can be house, is your room, or it can be anywhere else, but feeling the isolating itself. So during the pandemic, feeling this isolation, what are the ways to heal yourself, to look forward, to think forward?
Yeah, and I think in a way it's no coincidence that Ömer is a photographer, right? Because in a way, if you're already thinking about frames, and the window also creates a frame, it's both a way outwards, like a frame towards the outside world. It's like a horizon, let's say it like that. like dreams, being able to dream beyond this confinement, as well as indeed like reformulating what queerness means inside a potential home or a confined space, not having the outside or public spaces to live and experience and embody queerness, right? But what does it become when you're inside? And of course, this inside doesn't for everyone means the home. Mm-hmm. And also maybe to respond on what Kubra says about how it is a necessity for the Dutch artist. I think it is true that we have government support in the Netherlands, but on the Dutch side, I really try to look in the Netherlands for people who do not exactly have access to this government support, right? Because the government support is, of course, only available for artists who have the Dutch nationality, for example, or who live in the Netherlands a certain amount of time, etc. There's all these legal ties that create inaccessibility for some. And of course, also, you have to have like a record of the formal art spaces in order to be able to be identified by the government as an artist. So
to be established.
Exactly, yeah. And this established, of course, is decided by often very heteronormative, but also xenophobic governmental gaze. I always say not Dutch artists, but in artists in the Netherlands. And I think this is a very important distinction for the project, as well as thinking about artists who are, for example, disabled, or who are working from and with a disability experience, where, of course, there's all these elements of exclusion that is happening, and also learning from artists who are used to working from inside the home, mm-hmm. And are already excluded from art spaces. So that became a necessary element for the Dutch side, so to say. Yeah.
Kubra, what's your personal motivation to create this?
My motivation is, I mean, for myself, acting alone, creating alone, comes with the questions with whom or to who you create, or to who do you work, do you do this with? Mm-hmm. For the community, I mean, that's why my motivation is. That's something we are doing for the community itself.
Yeah.
What's it like? Can you say something about your experience living in Turkey now in 2021 as a queer?
When you compare, I mean, everything just changing quickly in a negative way since Gezi happenings, 2013. I'm not feeling myself like under pressure when I'm out or walking on the street or kind of, but the stress and power is just changing its shape, I think, like in dictatorships. Mm-hmm. It's, we can call like post-dictatorship kind of like, it's not like as we know, and it's the saddest thing.
And it's less free, or?
I mean, they just target us as LGBTI plus people with the flags like as a terrorist group in the country. Erdogan just, like, I mean, in beginning of this year. So also Boğaziçi happenings just started like in the January. So yeah, I mean, more and more each day we're just feeling, it's more than a feeling than, you know, this pressure coming from the, you know, governmental people. It's like a between mafia and police state, like all happening through. And of course, LGBTI plus people, the community, like on their first targets.
Where do you see the biggest decay in Turkish society at the moment, or the biggest danger maybe?
People are really poor in the country. And the others, I mean, people who live in Turkey, people who have power, are, you know, getting violently on the different ways. So it makes people angry, makes to protest, but they can't because the state is going to police state. And we don't see Erdogan, you know, a lot. We don't hear him a lot, but the people around him. Even with the elections, they have every way for themselves to run away with the good results, you know, the tricks and etc. You know, it's not a democratic country anymore. I can say totally underlining it. We cannot talk about democracy because we have one person and all the powers are in that person now.
Mm-hmm. Just to add, and I'm not talking about the Netherlands situation as a distraction from what is happening in Turkey, right? I think it needs to be added always. Mm. Like, as I would say, is that the European Union funds Erdogan's regime, because they want to keep the refugees local and not have them cross the Mediterranean Sea, where they will arrive in Greece and in Italy, where they're treated like shit. So it's, for me, it's just part of Through the Window is also, of course, why is there a relationality? It's not just because we know each other. It's also to really point out these different connections and to learn from each other how we are contributing to each other's freedom, like on a community level, and how we are contributing or potentially able to be in solidarity with each other when it comes to political struggles. One of the parts of that is also like in Through the Window, the next one, conversation that's coming up June 24th, we will have conversations with people, for example, who are Kurdish, Turkish, right? Like this question of, there's many questions to be entered into this conversation of queerness.
You're a philosopher, you're a thinker, you're always posing questions. What have you found out with this, or what kind of insights or even more questions have arisen from creating this project?
Well, a very practical one, to not be the philosopher, is I've learned a lot from the trickle-down model that Kubra and Omer proposed, where we are inviting each, both in Turkey and in the Netherlands, we invite 5 artists who then also invite 5 artists. So in total, we have 20 artists contributing to the exhibition. And this trickling down where you invite an artist who also invites somebody is really a model that I think is really generous and allows for a sort of shared or co-curatorial possibility to sort of spread the funding power that you have, right, when you initiate a project like this, and also to give away, in a way, a lot of trust when it comes to, right? Because if you invite an artist, it's not like, you're not thinking necessarily about like, okay, invite the next greatest artist, like whatever that ID might be. It's also really like, if you want to invite your friend who is just in need of the fee that we can provide, that's also really great. So there's a diversity of kind of works that exist from that.
It's more organic that way.
Yeah. Organic.
Designed to be organic.
Yeah, organic, but very organized against the structures of money flow in a way. Because it's a lot of power in some ways. Like, we're very romantic about this project from our heart and our soul and our inspirational, like, together.
Yeah.
And our friendship, which I think is super important. And as Kubra said, like, I don't do anything from a personal motivation without the community motivation somehow. But there is the moment that you have money, which is also our relationship, right? There's this element where, okay, the funding is coming from a Dutch funder. Like, how do we work with that? There are very real questions of access. As there is a real question of access of me going to Turkey is super easy. Then I have like super a lot of money, even though because the lira is really, do you say low or high? I don't know how to say it, but the exchange rate is not in favor of Turkish people, as you were saying also about poverty. So it's very easy for me to access Turkey, but the other way around is much more difficult. I think it's about these questions of access that we are navigating together, both on a structural level in the project, as well as on a loving friendship bodily level that we have to navigate with, no?
Can you give an example of how your friendship has influenced this project?
We know each other for since like 2 years, really? 2019, November or something like that. October. Before pandemic it was.
Yeah.
Right after we just met with Simon, in 6 months I proposed, do you want to work with Amer and me together in this project? We're going to apply for support. And Simon immediately said, yes, please, let's kick it. I love this word.
Kick it.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, we somehow trust each other. This is the word. We don't need to know each other for a long time, which we are not. But what is knowing each other for a long time? What is love got to do with it? I can say. So, referring to some other points.
what do you recognize in each other?
No, I love this that you're saying. I mean, this is what I recognize, right? Because we haven't talked about this so much. We also know each other through the work. Mm-hmm. And I think that also is telling of us, I think. We love through work, or we play with work. I think it's energy, as you say, trust, like immediate trust. And also, like, if I should not say this out loud because what you know what happens, but when Kubra asks me something, I will do it immediately. And this is not something I usually question everything, as you said, everything.
It's a trademark. Almost.
Yeah, like I'm also very mistrusting, not of people, but of structures. And I think for us, there's just an immediate, like, we are first, and then from the relationships are coming first, and from that we might create some structures.
The both of you against the world?
It's becoming more and more romantic, sorry.
We have something unseen, but always fueled, you know, deep in the heart. So yeah, that we have the fire. Mm. We have the fire that is not seen directly, it's always felt like, yeah.
And I would just add to that I really admire Kubra's talent as a singer, as a creator, as a performer. And it just comes out all the time. And that continuous creating and living that also, like the performance of living and living the performance. Mm. I'm so happy I met Kubra.
Me too, darling. Thank you for existence and for being with me.
Mm. We're shaking hands now, yeah. Holding hands across the table.
Yeah. Sorry.
What do you hope Through the Window will establish?
Well, first of all, livelihood, like immediate livelihood. I want the project not to be about long-term goals, but to be actually about what is needed right now.
Yeah.
And from what I've heard from a lot of people is that they really enjoy like creating something for and with community, right? So not for an audience that might not understand. These questions are just not present in Through the Window. Yeah.
It is a bridge, a way to communicate between each other, like as we communicating with Simon, like with artists from the Netherlands and Turkey, and not only artists who are creating works for the exhibition, but also with the speakers, thinkers for our conversations, and DJs for the parties, just following each other. All have its own network in it.
Let's make it a little bit more concrete, where listeners can really experience this project.
Yes.
It's mainly on Instagram and
yes.
Facebook?
It's on Instagram, but linked to Facebook, but mainly on Instagram. And the project's profile is Through the Window _project. So you can follow on Instagram.
Can you give us a taste of the posts that are already happening there? Like I saw some tarot cards with quotations and
yeah, so she can mix that.
Yes, yeah. Zeki Can, of course. Yeah. We have a lovely, lovely, lovely dearest friend Zeki Can from Turkey. Zeki Can helps us with creating the visuals of the projects for the posts and creating titles, different subtitles for the project. It's not only the exhibition and the conversations and the party. We have like subtitles also empowering the project. So they're all, those subtitles all created by Zeki Can. And luckily, not only moderating social media
and also creating how it's, you know, get through like in the same cup with the project itself.
So yeah, I mean, our online Instagram page is the project itself in one work.
Mm-hmm.
Like it seems like one work. So after choosing five artists, and after they choose five artists, the project starts. And then they start to create works. And the project itself for 3 months only, as in the first cycle and the second cycle. Last year we started in June, Istanbul Pride, and we end up in August, Amsterdam Pride. This year we started in April,
mm-hmm.
and we will end up like June 24 with the exhibition opening, online exhibition opening. During these 3 months, artists create works for the project, and we have two talks, which Simon moderates with Turkish and speakers from the Netherlands, both. And we have DJs following the conversations, also both from Turkey and the Netherlands.
And how can people access the totality of that?
Yeah, mostly through Instagram, because there's also the recorded conversations from previous, previous conversations, sorry. And also the exhibition from the first cycle is also online. The second one will be up in end of June. I'm trying to think, there's also indeed, like Kuro's referring also to, like, for example, the sending of postcards. There's small interviews with people questioning about their dreams, for example. So here we have again this through the window theme. And I think most of it is indeed focused on having people meet each other. So that's also one of the effects, I think, so far, is that people start to know each other. It's like, oh, you are also an artist in Through the Window. And this has been like an amazing experience.
It's happening, yeah.
And also physical?
Soon, yeah.
Soon, yeah. That's on the brink of the COVID restrictions, limited now. So.
Well, much will be happening, I think, in the future.
In the near future, we are planning to, but it's not, you know, certain yet. We will, I hope, we'll be doing the third circle next year. But this year, in September, we will have an actual exhibition with the artists from the first and the second cycle. In two different places in Istanbul, and hopefully in one place here in Amsterdam.
Oh, okay.
Yes, this week we are going to, you know, confirm with the constitution here. So in September, we will be seeing a selection of works from the both cycles of Through the Window artists, and we will have like ateliers, and we will have talks, both actual and online. The ateliers and talks will be. So yeah, and it will be for 1 month. From September to November, like an exhibition consisting also ateliers and conversations, kind of.
And if somebody doesn't have Instagram, they can still join our conversations because we hold them via Zoom.
Yeah.
And they can see it at Facebook. And if they cannot do that, then of course they can contact us personally.
Oh, okay.
And we are...
it also, can people join in the conversation?
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh. Yeah, so...
It's active.
Absolutely, yeah. So we curate the conversations with four speakers each time. Each speaker gets paid, of course. Then we have the conversation. The audience is also entering that conversation. And then the conversation turns into a party. Of course, the DJs are paid. People get quite naked. The conversations, the conversations, I just wanted to put in a little teaser.
Yeah.
The conversations are recorded. Of course, the party is not. Because
and the parties and the conversations, sorry to cut your words, darling. Yeah. And the parties and the conversations are both supported with Club COVID on their Zoom account. So they are our host.
Yeah, Club COVID started with the pandemic to have an online club. But we really hope to continue also this online, because we do notice that it was actually possible to create intimacy online,
yeah,
and to create new communities. Like actually, like this idea, you know, like when in academia they always talk about transnational queer activism or queer communities, but it actually happens.
It feels more accessible somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know why and how, but it feels more.
Yeah, and
also through the window of a computer screen or a smartphone.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah, everywhere can be your window too, you know.
Yeah,
I urge everybody to check this out. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you so much, Robert.
günüm aydın. Dedik ama yaptık çoktan baydın. Şimdi sıra bizde. Hadi gözün aydın. Tek vücut olduk Madiriyen aş. Madiriyen aş hadi canım koş. E özgürüz aşkım böyle daha hoş. Bağır ve haykır bugün sıra sende. Her yeni günde bizlere bende. Tek vücut olduk meydana dolduk. Mor kırmızı karıştırıp yuttuk. Tek tek yuttuk karıştırıp yuttuk. Soda kola kahve neymiş ayol. Vay be. Kafalar kafalar belki seni yakalar. Darlar oralar olmuyorsa buralar. Oralar buralar göğsümü yaralar. Desem de kanma bullying yapma. No aşkım aldanma. No aşkım aldanma. Git yürüdük geldik gülüme geldik. Gülüm dedik ama ciddiyiz biz. Alık alık bakma ciddiyiz biz. Tek tek yuttuk karıştırıp yuttuk. Yuttuk tuttuk sonunda bulduk. Fobini de al git naş dedik al git. Yürüdük geldik gülüme geldik. Fobini de al git naş dedik al git yürüdük geldik gülüme geldik gülüm dedik ama ciddiyiz biz alık alık bakma ciddiyiz biz tek tek yuttuk karıştırıp yuttuk yuttuk tuttuk sonunda bulduk fobini de al git naş dedik al git yürüdük geldik gülüme geldik.
Fetishisme,
ABC van perversies. Van Gert Hekma.
En de perversie van deze maand is erotomanie. De erotomanie was het eerste seksuele verschijnsel dat zijn opwachting maakte in de boeken van psychiaters rond 1800. Het was in de tijd de ziekte van oude vrijsters die ten onrechte dachten dat iemand verliefd op hen was. Een soort omgekeerde stalker. Vanwege hun onvervulde en dwaze dromen belanden ze in de handen van artsen. Als we erotomanie zien als onvervulde dromen van mensen die niet toekomen aan het seks- en liefdesleven waarnaar ze verlangen, is het een wijdverbreide aandoening. Bij gebrek aan een levendige sekscultuur blijft het bij smachten. Nergens heb ik zoveel smachtende meisjes gezien als in Marokko. Zij zoeken een jongen voor de liefde, maar de jongens willen meisjes voor een nummertje. De laatste bedriegen de eersten, die meestal hun liefdesgevoelens moeten doven in een gearrangeerd huwelijk. Velen zullen blijven smachten en dromen van een geliefde die ze nooit krijgen. Tegen hun wil zijn ze tot erotomanen gemaakt. Ze zijn moeders geworden die aan hun dochters en zoons hun onrealistische idealen van de liefde blijven overdragen.
I don't want you. no slave. I don't want you to work all day, but I want you to be true. And I just wanna make love to you, love to you, ooh, love to you. All I want to do is wash your clothes. I don't want to keep you indoors. There is nothing for you to do but keep me making love to you, love to you, ooh, love to you. And I can tell by the way you walk that walk, I can hear by the way you talk that talk, I can know by the way you treat your girl that I can give you all the love in the whole wide world. All I want you to do is make your bread just to make sure you're well fed. I don't want you sad and blue. I just wanna make love to you, love to you.
Moedig voorwaarts. De beslommeringen van Robert Meijers.
Geen zomer zonder zomerhit. Je hoort een liedje en raakt overrompeld. Je weet vrijwel meteen dat dit hem is. Je hoeft het niet te analyseren of af te wegen. Wat je smaak ook mag zijn, je zomerhit is meestal onmiskenbaar. Je kunt er niet onderuit. Mijn persoonlijke bevlieging voor zomer 2021 is de nieuwe single van Conchita Wurst, getiteld Malibu. Hoewel nog geen hit in enige parade, was mijn favoriet duidelijk toen ik de videoclip zag. Malibu, gespeld met een E in plaats van een I, is net zo fluïde als Tom Neuwirth's immer evoluerende alter ego. Zoals alles altijd net ietsje anders is in de wonderenwereld van La Wurst. Sinds de overwinning op het Songfestival van 2014 met Rise Like a Phoenix is er veel veranderd. Conchita ging van power ballads naar symfonisch, naar hoekige electropop, naar zwoele zomerklanken en liet zien meer te zijn dan de vrouw met de baard. De iconische look waar ze het publiek mee wist te bereiken, wierp ze meerdere malen van zich af om deze vervolgens opnieuw uit te vinden. Ze heeft daarmee het statische stereotype van de drag queen overstegen door feminine en masculine elementen naar believen te benadrukken of te laten voor wat ze zijn. In de clip zien we Conchita zonder pruik en zonder al te veel make-up. De set bestaat uit niet veel meer dan een gekleurde achtergrond en wat zomerse attributen als rolschaatsen en waterijsjes. Het spektakel komt puur en simpel van Conchita zelf. De twinkelende ogen, het geknoei met eten, de aanstekelijke vrolijkheid van iemand die zichzelf vooral niet te serieus neemt. Malibu geeft hoop op een zomer met minder zorgen. Conchita toont ons hoe. Door het beste te maken van wat we hebben en zonder reserves of gêne alle kanten van onszelf te vieren. Moedig voorwaarts!
There's no place like this where kisses taste like sugar. Cool as the ocean breeze, I'm floating, floating on air. Every breath takes me back. Never forget the times we had. A summer night in Malibu.
Media, uw maandelijkse gids voor cult, camp, kitsch en curiosa met Mark Hesseling. Nou, er is geen woord Latijn bij, Mark Ski.
Ja, dat moet voor jou toch bekend in de oren klikken.
Lake Nemi. Ach wel.
Ja.
Kei leuk.
Dat was het nummer Op de Baan. Dat laat niets aan de verbeelding over. Het wordt tijd en echt hoog tijd dat we eens aandacht besteden aan Tetje en de Flikkers. Want dat was toch wel een fenomeen. Mm-hmm. Een Nederlandse punkband, uit Nijmegen inderdaad, heeft bestaan van 1977 tot 1980. Ja, en dat was de punktijd, de hoogtijdagen van de punk. En de punk kwam natuurlijk uit Engeland. Dat was toch een beetje naargeestige muziek. Het was muziek die heel erg voortkwam uit de situatie in Engeland in die tijd. Die gewoon vooral voor jonge mensen heel naar was, heel uitzichtloos. Er was een enorme crisis, er was een enorme werkloosheid. Natuurlijk in Engeland ook het standsverschil. Als je opgroeide in zo'n naar, grauw mijnwerkersstadje, dan had je voor je gevoel geen enkele toekomst. En dat schreeuwde ze in de jongerencultuur eruit. Dat was de punk. Nou, dat werd een rage, dat sloeg ook naar Nederland. Ook Nederland was het in die tijd niet echt heel leuk hoor, dus dat sloeg hier ook wel aan. Tijd van de Koude Oorlog, hè, dat er de bom gegooid zou worden. Alleen de homowereld, ja, die was een beetje anticyclisch eigenlijk. Want daar ging het juist heel goed in die tijd. Hè. We hadden eind jaren 60 de Stonewall-rellen gehad in Amerika. Daaruit was de moderne homobeweging ontstaan, die ook in die tijd, zo eind jaren 70 in Nederland, behoorlijk voet aan de grond kreeg. En er was een enorme vrijheid. Er was natuurlijk in de jaren 60 een enorme seksuele vrijheid ontstaan voor heteroseksuelen. Maar de homo's die profiteerden daar ook van. De disco kwam op gang, dus ja. er werd veel gefeest. Ja, en dan kreeg je dus zo'n Tetje en de Flikkers die dan punk gingen spelen. Want die deden wel die muziek na, maar het was veel minder naargeestig en veel minder maatschappijkritisch. Het was veel meer in your face, weet je.
Veel geiler ook,
ja, toch? En provocerend. En het was echt een teken van een nieuw zelfbewustzijn, wat je heel erg zag in de LHBT-wereld in die tijd. En ja, dit was wel een fenomeen, die Tetje en de Flikkers. Want ze waren wel degelijk ook heel maatschappijkritisch. Veel van hun nummers hadden heel duidelijk een homo-gerelateerd thema, maar niet allemaal. Ze hebben bijvoorbeeld ook eens een nummer tegen Van Acht geschreven. Dat is ook iets waar de honden geen brood van lusten.
Die woonden toen in Groesbeek, weet ik nog.
Oh ja, dat zal er best mee te maken gehad hebben.
Jij denkt dat je een held bent. De redder van het land. De koning van de moraal. Maar je bent een stomme rechtse lul. Flikker Van Acht. Het raam uit Flikker Van Acht. Het raam uit Flikker Van Acht. Flikkers moeten hem bek houden. Gezinnetjes, je blijft natuurlijk heilig. De jute en het leger, die worden alsmaar sterker. Want je bent een stomme rechtse lul. Flikker Van Acht. Het raam uit Flikker Van Acht. Het raam uit Flikker Van Acht. Het raam uit Flikker Van Acht. Het raam uit.
Tetje en de Flikkers waren ook niet bepaald publiekslievelingen hoor. Het was toch wel heel erg provocerend allemaal. Het was muzikaal. Nou ja, daar hoeven we natuurlijk geen doekjes om te winden. Was het niet bepaald heel erg goed. Ik ga je even een stukje voorlezen. Ze hebben één LP ooit uitgebracht.
En, die ligt hier ook naast ons.
Ja, ja. En er was een recensie in de Gelderlander. Het begrip muziek is hier niet van toepassing. Want alles wordt ook nog eens zo rottig gebracht dat men werkelijk mag gaan twijfelen aan de verstandelijke vermogens van de leden. En ja, het is... Het
had
is
er zo... gewoon een lekkere joint erbij opgestoken waarschijnlijk.
Nou, het ging om iets anders. En het is zo jammer dat het natuurlijk een tijd was dat er nog bijna niemand, of bijna niemand, dat nog helemaal niemand een cameratelefoon had. Er is heel weinig beeldmateriaal bewaard gebleven. Er zijn een paar gruizige foto's. Er zijn eigenlijk geen videomateriaal. Maar die optredens van Tetje en de Flikkers, dat was wat hoor. Dat ging echt heel ver met vuurwerk en SM-acts.
Wow.
En ze stonden ook af en toe spiernaakt op het podium. En het wonderlijke was dat ze niet alleen in de homowereld optraden, maar gewoon ook in het jongerencircuit zaten. Dat ze in buurthuizen optraden. Mm. Tot ontzetting natuurlijk van de ouders. Want er werden ook allerlei actiegroepen opgericht. Bladel tegen Tetje en de Flikkers en zo. Dus dat was allemaal heel leuk en heel provocerend. 1980 was het afgelopen. En nou verwacht je, dat deed ik tenminste onwillekeurig, dat het verhaal een hele dramatische turn neemt. En dat is niet zo. Ze zijn er gewoon mee gestopt. Het was mooi geweest. Ze hebben hun instrumenten verkocht. Ik vond het ook heel leuk om erachter te komen dat alle vier de leden van de groep gewoon nog leven.
Mm-hmm.
Dat had ik niet verwacht met alle verhalen over wilde seks en drugs en weet ik veel wat. Tetje was overigens een vrouw, was het enige vrouwelijke lid van de band, was een toetseniste.
Mm-hmm.
Zij is tegenwoordig een therapeute, doet iets met natuurgeneeswijzen. En van de drie mannen, de Flikkers, zijn er twee gepromoveerd. Eén is een arts, één is psycholoog en één is tegenwoordig journalist. Dus eigenlijk heel goed gekomen met die mensen. Hun main claim to fame, daar wil ik mee eindigen.
Mm.
Dat was het nummer Ik ben een hoer. Dat is eigenlijk vlak voordat ze ermee ophielden, is dat verschenen op een soort verzamel-LP. Uitgegeven door een stichting die popmuziek in Nederland wilde promoten. En dus jonge bandjes bij elkaar had gebracht. En daar waren onder andere ook het Klein Orkest en Doe Maar waren daarbij. En daar werden ze toen mee op één lijn gezet. Maar dat heeft niet zo mogen wezen. Maar ja, een heel krachtig statement uit die tijd. En denk dat we ze ook wel heel dankbaar mogen zijn. Want dit is natuurlijk wel hoe we het graag zien. Gewoon krachtig, geen gezeur, slikken of stikken.
Laten we gaan luisteren naar dat mooie chanson. Geremasterd.
Zeg jij de titel nog een keer?
Ik ben een hoer.
Ja, heel goed.
Ik ben de clown en ik ben een hoer. grijp je kans, nu ben ik al voor jou. Terwijl dat ik je pijp, maar lust heeft spuitje in mijn mond. Maar bedenk wel, ik verkoop illusies. Jij bent een klant en ik ben een hoer.
Jammer, het was te proberen. Dit was in ieder geval CultiCulti 93. Ik ben Robert Weijers en dank hierbij met heel mijn hart Kubra Ozoen, Simone van Saarloos, Mick Soer, The Jackson 5, Gert Hekma, Ada James, Freesound.org, Bert Boelaars, Conchita Worst, Mark Hesselink, Tetje en de Flikkers en Lydia Til. Meer CultiCulti, waaronder alle eerdere uitzendingen en zoekfunctie op gasten, perversies en onderwerpen, en de mogelijkheid om te abonneren op de podcast, is te vinden op CultiCulti.nl, Culti met de K van Koli Kanonu. Tot jullie!
CultiCulti, CultiCulti, CultiCulti, CultiCulti, CultiCulti. CultiCulti, CultiCulti, CultiCulti, CultiCulti.